on the website. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 7, and we're looking at the light of the gospel. Of course, we know that's Jesus, right? The light of the gospel is Jesus. So let's look at verse 5 first, and then we'll move on from there. It says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake." Let's pray. Father, again, we are so very thankful to be in your house tonight. And Father, there's those that aren't here with us tonight for whatever reason. We just pray, Father, that you would just touch their lives and that you would restore them, that they could be back with us as we worship you together. And Father, I pray for your word tonight as we look into it and as we're going through this part, the light of the gospel, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Father, everything that we should be doing, everything that we should be talking about is Jesus. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. And Father, so we pray tonight that you would just, again, touch our hearts, that you would speak to each one of us personally, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is the center of the gospel message. Should be all we do, right? In fact, Paul says, "For we preach not ourselves, right? But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake." It's not about us, it's about Jesus. Some people say, "Well, you just want to preach because you want to talk about yourself." No, I want to talk about Jesus. Is that what we want? Jesus, 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 right? We need to make sure that people know about Jesus Christ. And Paul wanted to make sure that people knew about Jesus. In fact, Paul was so enamored with the fact that people should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, he had wished himself accursed that his brethren could know Christ. Can you imagine that? Being so willing to be accursed that others could know Christ? I don't know about you, but I don't really want to give up my salvation, right? Not that we can, right? Let's be honest about it. We cannot, but I'd rather not even think about it. I'd rather just keep that and still share Jesus with everybody and make sure that people know that it's because of Jesus that we can have the joy of salvation. In the words that Paul gave us in this verse 5 here, he further manifests his loyalty and integrity in preaching the gospel by showing that he sought to advance Christ and not advance himself in the preaching of it. Paul didn't want people to look at him and see him. They wanted to have them see Christ and know who Jesus was. He had not preached himself. He had not sought to advance his own interests. And he regarded himself as sent to make the Savior known. He was a servant of Jesus Christ. See, there's a lot of people who want to be the top dog, so to speak. I got news for you. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. Can anybody top that? So he is what we would call the one. There's nobody that's going to beat him out. So let's just be his servants and let's just do what he's asked us to do. He says, "I'm here to make the Savior known. That's what I'm here for." He says, "No matter what happens, I am bound to make the cause of Jesus Christ known." If we can't be about his business, then what are we doing? What are we doing? We're just spinning our wheels if it's about us. But if it's about him, things are going to happen. It was like, "Well, you can talk to a lot of people and not many of them get saved." I can tell you, I've talked to several people and recently, and in churches these days, it's hard. I was talking to Brother Luke. He's a youth pastor down in Salt Lake City. And he said, it's hard to get the youth today to come together. He says, even if you're going to go and do laser tag or whatever, go have a good time. He said, it's still hard to get them to come out. when they know that it's associated with a church because society has turned people off the church. And it's true. The Bible tells us in the last days there's going to be a falling away. A falling away from what? A falling away from the truth. That's what the falling away is from. And I can tell you, there's people that I know that were born, brought up in church, lived their whole life going to church, and then all of a sudden they just drop off the face of the planet, so to speak, when it comes to church. There's a falling away. He said, well, church is just a crutch. No, it isn't. Church is not a crutch. Without church, where would we be? Where would our nation be if people didn't go to church and learn about Jesus and take that out into the world? What would happen if the Holy Spirit was removed from here? They're going to find out one day. But it's not about us, it's about the Savior. Now there was false teachers and there were cunning priests and heathen religions that brought to advance their own interests, right? We talk about that. There's people who are out there and they don't want the truth of the gospel. They don't want to be, well, they didn't used to want to be Christian. Now everybody wants to be known as Christian. It really throws people off. But there was a time, and I can tell you in my lifetime, when there were certain religious groups that did not want to be associated with Christianity. And today, they do. Isn't it interesting? How did they go from being against it to being okay with it? And so today, when people say, I'm a Christian, you have to have that clarified. Are you a born-again, blood-bought child of God? And then they look at you with a strange deer in the headlights look, and you know they have no clue. But it's because there's a big turn-off to church. There's a big turn-on to being just a Christian that does nothing. Right? I can't imagine knowing the Savior and not wanting to do anything at all for Him. They advance their own interests. They perpetuate a system of delusion that would be profitable to themselves. Over and over and over, I warn against these heretics that get into a pulpit and say, send me all your money. If they were truly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, He would provide for them. They wouldn't have to beg for you to send them money. And then do it in such a way that makes you think that if you send them money, God's going to give you 10 times as much back. I always thought this, why do people fall for that? Because if God's going to do that, then why don't they just give away their own money and let God give them 10 times? Right? Why do they need everybody else's money if that's how it works? Some people, they just don't think that through all the way. And they think they have to. But they resort to all kinds of arts and stratagems and cunning devices to perpetuate their authority and extend their influence. Over and over and over. It was kind of interesting. Yesterday they were talking, was your brother Tim and his wife, about the certain elders that go door to door. And they he was talking about how they talk to him and all. And it's interesting, the conversations they have. I said, they won't come to our house anymore. But they do go to the neighbors on either side of us, but they won't even cross the sidewalk in front of our house. They go across the street, over and back across the street, because they will not pass in front of our house. Because every time they've come to our house in the past, I go, well, that's what you say, but this is what the Word of God says. And then they'll come up with something else. And I say, well, this is what the Word of God says. And if you give them the Bible enough, they're either going to accept the truth or they're going to reject it and not have anything to do with you. Because they don't want to hear it anymore. And it's interesting. And I have nothing against going two by two. I believe that's biblical. But they always have one that's more indoctrinated than the other one. And immediately when you start seeing the other one kind of listening to what you say, they automatically have to go. Because the other one is shutting everything down so this one doesn't get influenced with the truth. The bottom line is, if what you believed was a lie, wouldn't you want to know the truth? So the fact that Paul and his associates went forth to make the Lord Jesus Christ known was the reason why they avoided all such dishonest arts and artifices. We are merely the ambassadors of Christ. That's what we're here for. We're just ambassadors for Christ. We are here to represent Him. Are we doing a good job of it? Are others seeing Him in us? We are not principals in this business, and we do not dispatch it as a business of our own, but we transact it as agents for another. Instead of talking about us, we need to talk about Him. Now, I like Brother Fred this morning. He brought out, and he's not here, so he's going to have to just listen to it if he wants. But he brought out today, yes, sometimes we bring in our own experiences to show how it fits into everyday living, right? I can't give you experiences that I know nothing about. I can't tell you about things that happened to somebody else that I wasn't there. I don't know anything about them. But I can give you some things and say, this is how this applies, and this is how it mapped out in things I know of. And so sometimes we'll do that. We'll say, this is how this applies, so that it makes sense. But it's not about bringing the glory to us. It's still about giving Him all the glory, still talking about Him, because it's how He did it, not how we ourselves have done it. He says, He, it's all about Him. So, He was free from all the tricks of dishonesty. He didn't go that route, and He didn't want to go that route. He says, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, Paul states to be the only purpose of the ministry. It's about Christ Jesus, the Lord. He's the sole design of the ministry. All we are supposed to do is make known the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say that if we go out and we share Jesus Christ, people will get saved. Not everybody, but there will be some that get saved. Wouldn't it be worth it all if we just reached one person with the gospel? We might have to give out 1,000 tracts. We might give out 2,000 John and Romans. We might talk to 500 people. If one person gets saved, is it not worth it? One person that's rescued. The word Lord also is used to designate Him. In Mark 11:3 it says, and if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And John 20:25 it says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. There's some people that will not believe without seeing. I thank God he directed me to go through Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, because we're seeing over and over and over, it's not about seeing. It's about faith. Just believe. Just believe. Jesus says it's about Jesus. I mean, Paul says it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. That's all we need to do is make known the Messiah. Isn't it interesting that over and over and over we have several ministries that we're involved with that go to the Jewish people? And each time, over and over and over, They say, you can't just use the same techniques that we use on Gentiles to reach the Jewish people. The Jewish people know the Word of God. They just don't believe it's talking about Jesus. You see, they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. We know He already has. Interesting how hard it is for them to receive something that they know so much about, and yet they don't see it. So to preach Jesus Christ, the Lord, implies these things. To prove that He is the Messiah, so often predicted in the Old Testament. The Old Testament talks so much about Jesus. Over and over and over and over and over. It points forward to Jesus. The New Testament points back. We sit on this side of it and we go, we've got the whole thing, right? We've got old and new. We can read it and we can know what's going on. They only had bits and pieces at times. It's hard. Can you imagine having just pieces of the gospel? The Word of God? And say, well, how does this fit together? We have it all and yet we still don't always get it. He understood it was important for them to prove that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah that was so much predicted in the Old Testament and so long expected by the Jewish people. He thought to do this was a vital work of the ministry. To reach these people, it was essential to their success and all their attempts to convert the Jews. Thought, it'll be no less important to try and convert the Jews throughout time. Not just in his time, but throughout time. We need to do that. It is not indeed so vital and leading a point now in the reference to those whom the ministers of the gospel usually preach, and it is probable that the importance of this argument is by many overlooked, and that is not urged as it should be by those who preach Christ Jesus the Lord. It involves the whole argument of the truth of Christianity. It leads all to the demonstrations that this faith is from God and the establishment of the proposition that Jesus demonstrates, Jesus is the Messiah, is one of the most direct and certain ways of proving that His faith is from heaven. Folks, if we can just share what God's done in our life with others, they will see that they might need Jesus as well. You know, I tell people all the time, you don't have to be a theologian to talk about Jesus. I don't know that much. People go, well, yeah, you do. No, I don't. I can tell you right now, as many times as I've been through the Bible, I can barely touch the hem of the garment. People go, well, how do you preach? I study and I learn. But I don't know that much. I'm no great theologian, but I know enough. As the saying goes, I know enough to be dangerous, right? I can go out and I can share Jesus with people, and we need to do that. But we also have to understand that the Bible is full of information that we can go and we can share with others. We can keep telling them about what God's doing, what God has already done, all the fulfilled promises of God, all those promises that are still out there to be fulfilled. But we need to understand that the first object of a preacher is to demonstrate that Jesus is sent by God in accordance with the predictions of the prophets. And then two, to proclaim the truths that He taught. Jesus came and He taught. Let's proclaim His truths. He taught them over and over and over. Can you imagine? I always think it'd be so nice to have been here when Jesus walked the earth. But then I'd have missed this time. We don't live forever, right? I never made it. But I think it would be so interesting to be there and sit there and listen as he taught. They'll say, yeah, but then you'd have to ride camels and you'd have all that desert stuff. I still think it would have been great. But I would have missed out on this time. And Jesus has us here for a reason. We need to proclaim the truths that he taught, to make known his sentiments and his doctrines and not our own. How many times have you heard those false teachers out there spreading their own doctrine? Which when you hear it, you go, well, I've never read that in the Bible. And yet people will flock to them. We got to be careful, because if the majority was right, I'm telling you, we wouldn't be Baptist. Right? Because the majority of people are not clinging to Baptist churches. But the majority of people are clinging to churches that are tickling their ears, telling them what they want to hear. I get tired of hearing from people, I want to go to church and feel good about myself. I want to go to church and have God convict me of what I'm doing wrong. It's evidence that he loves me. Right? The Bible says he chastens those that he loves. I want to know he still loves me. I want to know that when I'm doing something wrong, I need to be corrected. I don't want people to tell me I can come as I am and stay as I am and live however I want and God will accept that. I don't want to hear that. So we need to understand. We need to be teaching what he taught and not what man is teaching. Then he is to make known the facts of the Savior's life. Jesus did come. He did die. He did rise again. By the way, the third day. He did all of those things. We have to show that he came and he died. We have to show that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Because until people accept Christ as God, they're not going to get saved. They just think he was just another good man that walked the earth. We have to show forth how he lived, his self-denial, his meekness, his purity, his blameless life, his spirit of prayer, his submission to the divine will, his patience in suffering, his forgiveness of his enemies, his tenderness to the afflicted, the weak, and the tempted, and the manner of his death. And then we say, well, we can't do any of that. We should be able to do that. Jesus did it, and he is our example. Our problem is that we don't want to follow in his footsteps most of the time. He gave us an example. He was the only perfectly pure model that we could mold our lives after. Then we need to set forth the design of his death to show why he came to die. You know, people say, well, yeah, he came and he died. No big deal. No, why did he come to die? There's so much in that that they need to know. He came to die that we could have eternal life. And then to set forth the truth and the design of his resurrection. When they went to the tomb, can you imagine? You go to the tomb and the stone is rolled away. Study that. That stone was extremely heavy. You didn't just roll that right out of there. It was heavy. I think that God designed it perfectly to show that man could not have taken the body of Jesus Christ out of that tomb. In fact, if you study it, it kind of went downhill to block that cave entrance to that tomb where it was hewn out of the rock. It kind of rolled downhill. So you have to roll that. One of the things I saw was 2,000-pound rock out of the way to enter. How are you going to do that uphill? People go, well, we'll just go get the big, you know, big rigs and hook onto it. They didn't have that. Everything they did was by hand. See, it would be a bigger miracle to prove that man could have got Jesus out of the tomb and stole the body and hid it somewhere and disprove that he walked the earth after he rose again. That would be a bigger miracle than just accepting the fact that he came and he died and he rose again. Thank God he rose. The empty tomb is proof that God accepted payment for our sins. And then to proclaim him as Lord, this is expressly specified in the passage before us. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. We proclaim him as Lord. He is to be preached as having dominion over the conscience as the supreme ruler in his church. As I said, he is the head of the church. Nobody is above him. He is the head of the church. Now he calls men to be the under-shepherd of a church, but he is the head of the church. That's why I tell people, you don't get to tell me what to do. My marching orders come from God. He tells me what to do. So I thanked Daniel and Holly because they told me they wanted a quick gospel thing, and I said, I'll make it very quick so they have plenty of time to get everything else they had to do done yesterday. And I think they were amazed I was as quick as I was, because I'm not usually that fast. And so they were thrilled, but they did not tell me what they wanted. They just told me to do something to touch the hearts of the people that would be here that might not otherwise hear it. And so it was a very condensed version, if you were here, very condensed version of a message of salvation so people could know that they needed Christ. And we need to do that. In Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He has all power. All power. In John 17:2 it says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Over and over and over we see he has power. He has the power to give eternal life. And then he says, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. They made it their business to preach Christ and not themselves. Self was not a matter nor an end of the apostles' preaching. They didn't give their own notions. They didn't give their own private interpretations. They didn't give their opinions. They didn't give any of that, nor their passions or their prejudices or any of that. They gave the Word of God. You know, if we'd get out of the way and let God's Word just do its work, I think there'd be a whole lot more going on in this world for Jesus. That we just get out of the way and let God be God. They didn't want to advance their own secular interests. They didn't want the glory. They didn't want the honor. They didn't want the praise. It's the way it should be. It's the way it should be. This morning after the service, one of the ladies that was visiting, she came over to me. She said, I really appreciate it. That was a great message this morning. I said, praise the Lord. Give the one glory that's due. And then she told me, she said, kind of interesting, a Catholic in a Baptist church. Praise the Lord. Amazing what God can do, isn't it? Their whole idea, their whole business was to make the Messiah known. To make their master known. That's all they cared about. Then Christ being the light of the gospel message, I think we're going to stop there. I got through all of one verse.